Hello and welcome to the Aviation Reporter, your podcast about everything related to airports, airlines, and the aviation industry. In this episode, we have with us Jean-Eric Puzza, the CEO of Dronic. He's in a conversation with Jean-Luc Devicha. Let's give the floor to them.
My name is Jean-Eric Puzza. I'm the CEO of Dronic, and I'm the CEO since the company was founded in 2019. And the main focus of Dronic is to integrate drones safely into the existing aviation environment, because we only share one airspace. And from our perspective, we don't want to divide airspace. We want to make that possible or usable also for everyone. And this is the main focus. We do that by making drones visible by our own techniques. We have an LTE transponder, which transmits the data into the LTE system of the Deutsche Telekom and then to Deutsche Flugsicherung. And there we are possible to gather all this information and display that on one single screen. So we have a combined view of manned and unmanned aviation. And this is pretty unique. Now 50 years old, my background is I'm a former accountant within Deutsche Bank. And then I changed, I think, 20 years ago into the aviation sector. I was then managing director of a Luxembourgish company where we built an own AOC, as an air operator certificate, and operated an aircraft. Did that for 3 years, and then I came to Deutsche Flugsicherung as a senior consultant in the sales background of DFS. And then I went to Eisenschmidt. Maybe you know that's a pilot shop, and was responsible of distributing the mandatory documents of Deutsche Flugsicherung, like the AIP and the ICAO charts. And then in 2019, I was asked by the former CEO of DFS, Mr. Professor Scheuerle, if I would be interested in, let's say, building up and also being a founding C-member of Dronic. And of course, since the drone business is very exciting and it's just building up, and if you can be part of it in the first minute, I think that was, it took me only, I think, only 2 days to decide, yes, I will do it. So then I'm here. And besides that, I'm an active pilot, have an ATPL, and I'm an instructor. And so I have aviation in my genes and in my blood. And so I'm a, let's say, accountant pilot. So and I think this sums up or fits pretty good to Dronic, because we have combined in Dronic, let's say, three major categories, like telecommunication, ANSP, and aviation. And these three knowledge types are pretty unique in one company. And this is also pretty unique together with our display of unmanned and manned aviation on one screen. So this makes it pretty unique.
Wow, that's a very impressive introduction. And I really like the career change. I mean, from Deutsche Bank to, at one point in time, Deutsche Flugsicherung. I think it's...
Jean-Luc, you know, whenever you are... I mean, once you are infected by this aviation gene, whenever I see an aircraft, even after almost 30 years now, I have to look up and I like the smell of kerosene and everything. So, I mean, this will never change. Once you are infected by that, there is no vaccine against it. It's just simply there.
Yeah, that's really how a kind of aviation enthusiasts are typecast. I really like that. And of course, yeah, I mean, seeing a plane is still as exciting, I think, as it was 10, 20 years ago. So thank you very much for the introduction on Dronic. It's still a very young company, and also saw that you won a very nice prize early this week. So congratulations for that. At 3 years old, where do you see yourself heading? What is your long-term goal? Where do you see the company, let's say, in the next 10 years? And I know 10 years is a very long time in today's world, but what do you see as the long-term goal for your company?
First of all, we still see ourselves as pioneers. I think this is something which someone has to understand, because it's a very new field. There's nothing, we cannot look back and see what somebody has done before, because we are just there at the starting minute. So we are trying to building up this market. We are trying to building up the environment for that, or also for the complete ecosystem. So 10 years, you're right, is a very long period, even in a market which is just, let's say, waking up. But of course, Dronic wants to be the first use-based service provider in Germany and maybe also in Europe. So we are really keen on being that, and we are preparing ourselves to meet all the necessary requirements from the German authorities and, of course, also from EASA, from the European side, to fulfill all the needs. And, of course, then we want to, let's say, design the new way of working together with manned and unmanned aviation. And this is our key focus. Besides the visibility part, where we really work also hard together, even with other associations like the German Aero Club, like the AOPA, like all the others, so that we explain them, hey, visibility is key. And it's not that we want to send bills to you because you did something wrong. It's just that we want to prevent accidents. This is the main focus, really. Being visible, no matter if it's uncontrolled airspace or controlled airspace. Yeah, for us, the key for everything, because the drone has has technique on board, so the drone can avoid other traffic whenever it sees other traffic. So it's more or less that the manned aviation has to be visible, that the drone can mitigate at the end. But where do we want to be? Yeah, we want to play, let's say, a major role in this new ecosystem. We want to design it. We want to make drone flights possible, and we want to get as much drones safe in the air as possible. And this is our focus over the next years. We realized that drone flying is one aspect, but a very other aspect is having all the regulatory needs done for an operator being able to fly. So we are not only the company who makes drone, who display drones on a display. We are also the ones taking our customer by the hand, lead them through the complete process of, let's say, CONOPS writing, ZOA writing, look writing. So our customer has always the right to say, now from this point on, I do it myself. Oh no, I want you to do that. Or please help me that someone else can do it. So we try to just make it possible. Yeah, this is a major, major role for us in the future.
If I hear it well, use-based services, as you call it, is actually a very important business for you. It's to helping, it's to consulting. Is it the services part which will play or already plays a key role, consulting, advising?
Right now it does, because the market is slowly waking up and getting where everyone sees it. So it's not, say, developing that fast as everyone has expected. But of course, we see it is rising. The requests we're getting are more concrete. And of course, we also have consultancy contracts helping others to get their drone in the air. Because first of all, and this is the same for everyone, they said, we tried ourselves, but they didn't succeed. And of course, on this process, then you lose companies already because they think, oh, it's too complex. But some of them, they said, okay, but who can help? And then of course they see there are only maybe a handful of companies currently available being able to do that. And then they approach us, and then we say, okay, what do you want? And normally our customer, they don't want to fly at the end. They want a solution. They want a picture. They want a data feed, but they don't care about who flies. Drone is becoming a tool for them. It's not a toy anymore. And this is what we have to understand. And we take the customer by the hand through that complete process, and he has the right to say in each moment what he wants to do. He can also change his mind within that process, so that we can really lead him to what he wants. And this is very important for us, that we are that flexible also in our own processes, helping our customers to get their results.
Yeah. You have already mentioned it before. You have mentioned several times the ecosystem. For a lot of us that don't fully know kind of how the drone world operates, can you compare the drone ecosystem in which you have to operate with the aviation ecosystem? How far is it apart, actually?
That's a very good question. And this is what we realize now. So you have to understand the aviation industry. I don't know, how old is it? 60, 80 years? It's not. I don't know, but maybe more. When did Mr. Lindbergh fly? I mean, Lindbergh is the first one, I would say. So, but aviation starts, I don't know, maybe 40 years ago, I would say. And since then, this aviation sector is highly regulated. It's regulated in, let's say, you cannot just use a screw from the Baumarkt, from the store. It has to be approved. And even a single screw has to be approved. And this is what we see in aviation. And now you go to the unmanned aviation. They are, until I think the last 2 years, there were no regulation whatsoever. So they could design what they want. They can do whatever they want. They can try. They did everything. And now finally they realize, ooh, if I want to, let's say, go in an airspace, and maybe where also, let's say, manned aviation is present, like Lufthansa, like airlines and stuff, they don't let me in. And now they understand, they have to understand why, because we're talking about safety. And this is something which aviation has proven over the last 40 years. that safety is definitely the key aspect in flying. And safety is expensive in the end because you have to prove, you have to have a maintenance concepts, you have to have operational concepts. Even your crews have to be trained in a certain way. And even your own organization has to be certified. And this is something the drone industry now realizes. And of course, they tried somehow to go left and right. But now they see, no, if I really want to go into controlled airspace, no, I have to talk to them and I have to find a way together with them to share that airspace. And we are now really now in this process where the unmanned aviation meets manned aviation. And now they have to find a way together. And this is something which where we also help. To explain to the manned aviation, hey, you know what a drone can do? It has geofences, for example. It doesn't fly just away. It is fenced in some areas. So it's not that danger. But of course, once it comes closer to an airport, then you have to talk to an air navigation service provider, for example, because they see, now a drone is coming. Oh, what do I have to do if the drone, let's say, just flies away? And then the airport says, well, if the drone flies away, then I'm losing slots. So I don't get my targeted fees for landing and operating aircrafts on my airport. So we have to talk to the complete ecosystem to explain what a drone is capable of doing. And of course, talk open about risks. What happens if a drone doesn't do what it's supposed to do? And this is, it sounds very easy, but maybe you can realize it is really complex at the end.
Is this where the ConOps can help? Because, of course, you have ConOps in the normal aviation world, and you said that you're helping drone operators or people that have an impact on drone operations with their ConOps. Is this where you can kind of find a colliding or a way of putting things together?
Yeah. Somebody asked me, what could a drone do, or what is the drone ecosystem? The problem is, it's not. I cannot explain it in one sentence. But coming back to your question, it's more that you have to define if the drone is flying BVLOS, or the beyond visual line of sight, or is it flying in line of sight. This is the first deviation you have to say. Well, when a drone flies inside of the pilot, I think they don't need much, because the pilot then can see the surroundings, and if there's a medical helicopter, he can just flies with the drone away. So this is not the problem. But the problem is more or less related to flying beyond visual line of sight. And this is then where the visibility need comes. Because if the operator is not seeing other traffic, how should he avoid other traffic? And this is the major part. And I think this is, so we have to, you have to deviate a little bit more. But we take more or less care about the BVLOS operations, so beyond visual line of sight, and helping them to mitigate other traffic. And this is the key. This is the key to everything.
Interesting. Now, of course, going back to, let's say, the long-term view of drones, where do you see the major changes happen? From your perspective, what do you think within 5 years' time, how things will have evolved, or how the collaboration with normal air traffic will have evolved? Are there certain things which you see, this is where I see major things happening in the next 5 years?
I think it's happening already. And now maybe we can talk a little bit about current operations and maybe future operations. So even if we don't have use space available for the time, our customers are still flying. So they are flying, of course, outside use space because it's simply not existing. And they're flying outside also beyond visual line of sight because they have that approved by the government or by the competent authority, to say it more correct. And so they are currently flying. And what are they doing? They are inspecting pipelines. They're inspecting high tension lines. They are inspecting industry sites. Also railroad traffic, maybe bridges also. So this is one aspect. And the other one is in the medical side, flying vaccines, flying blood from a hospital to a laboratory to have that, let's say, checked. And it saves time. They will also fly origins sooner or later, not currently, but they will be in 1 or 2 years, just to speed up that process. And I think this is something also the people outside understand, that there is a need for that. And especially in Germany, I would say, We don't like someone flying over our house. But if they understand why they are flying over the house, I think then it's for them easier to understand why a drone is more or less flying. What we might see in the future, maybe also in Germany, is maybe in the logistics side, groceries, for example, smart deliveries. But that's very complicated because, I mean, we are competing against delivery services only asking for €3 for delivery. So we have to see if a drone really can cope with that price at the end. But this might be a sector. And of course, the eVTOLs and Volocopter, Airbus and Lilium and other operators operating, let's say, unmanned aviation. That's what it is. Yeah, you know, it's unmanned, no pilot, but it's still manned. So the people are on board. This will come. But I think we won't see these kind of operations in more than in less than 5 years. I think this will take some more time. But they are working on that. They are quite confident, and they have the power to do that. And the first drones, I think, let's say eVTOLs, maybe they will not fly in Europe. Maybe they will fly in the Emirates, for example, somewhere like that, or in Brazil, where they are really, let's say, can help to reduce pollution from helicopters and stuff. I think we will see that there. But this will take up 5 to 10 years, I would say, if we would see some eVTOLs operating on a regular basis in Europe. That's just my personal view. But there are others, Jean-Luc, which we don't know yet. They are just waiting to come up once the regulation is clear to everyone, and then they will just pop up. And I'm really excited to see what else is coming besides what I've just mentioned, because we simply maybe don't know all the capabilities of drones.
So it's a very exciting future you're actually kind of sharing with us, because so many things are possible and so many things still have to be done so that they don't interfere with, let's say, normal other operations that's happening now. So, I mean, it's nice Valhalla, let's call it.
Maybe one more aspect. I mean, since I start talking, I can talk forever. But one very interesting aspect is, what do you do, or how does your future life, in a city? How does that look like, for example? So you're sitting in your office. You want to fly maybe, or you want to go and have something to eat. So you write in your diary, eat with Eric, and over there. And then then the system calls you back and said, hey, you know, you can use now an e-bike, you can use a subway, you can use a drone. So which one you like to use? And then you decide. And then they tell you, okay, now you have to be in 5 minutes, you have to leave the office, then you have to go this. And so it's just waiting for you over there. Then it flies you to your, let's say, meeting point. Maybe you need another kind of transportation again, and everything's booked for you in advance. And you just only have to follow that rule. Can you imagine how many people or how many companies you need working together to make that possible? But I think this is the future. So everything will be connected to each other. It has to be connected, that there's a complete flow of traffic, complete flow of information, and of course that you get to your spot at the right time. Even telling you, you have to leave 5 minutes early because there's a congestion somewhere. So everything will be connected, but this will take another 5 to 10 years, but I think we will get there.
Yeah, it's exciting how you kind of combine it into a smart city approach, because as smart cities is all about sustainability and less cars and everything within a 15-minute distance. So this fits perfectly in there. We only will need to look into the noise levels of certain of these devices, but I think that's yet another challenge. Very, very interesting, very exciting. Well, Mr. Putzit, Eric, thank you very much for this. I think very good kind of comprehensive overview of what you do and where you see the future heading. I think our listeners will be very happy to listen to this this podcast and know more about Dronic. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if you have some more questions, feel free to contact us anytime. If you want to get your drone in the air, give us a call.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by EMA Systems. EMA helps airports optimize their ground operations by correlating real-time data through AI, including ACDM. You can visit www.ema.euro to find out more.